What if the most pervasive human rights violation isn't happening in distant war zones, but right before our eyes? In a call to action, Jimmy Carter confronts an uncomfortable truth: the systematic abuse and discrimination against women and girls across every continent and culture. Growing up in rural Georgia during the 1930s, Carter witnessed contradictions that shaped his understanding of gender equality. His mother worked as a nurse, while his father insisted on respectful treatment of the Black women who helped in their home. His childhood heroine was Rachel Clark, an African-American woman with an aura like a queen, who taught him fishing, nature, and spiritual values. Yet as he matured, Carter observed how his community interpreted religious texts to justify discrimination and maintain different standards for men and women. These formative experiences planted seeds for his later human rights advocacy, showing how personal awakening often precedes social change. When religious leaders relegate women to inferior status, they create fertile ground for exploitation. As an active Christian and Bible teacher since age 18, Carter challenges interpretations promoting inequality. After the Southern Baptist Convention emphasized wives being submissive to husbands in 2000, he questioned whether this aligned with Jesus' example as history's greatest liberator of women. Jesus treated women as equals, conversing with a Samaritan woman, pardoning the woman accused of adultery, and welcoming women as travelers and supporters. Mary Magdalene was first to witness his resurrection. While some cite Paul's letters as evidence of bias, Carter argues these must be understood in historical context. Through travels to approximately 145 countries, Carter has gained unique insights into women's status worldwide. His mother's experience as a Peace Corps volunteer in India revealed how professional status intersects with cultural hierarchy. Despite being a nurse, she was considered an untouchable for working with bodily excretions. Yet when she taught a gardener's daughter to read, she sparked a transformation that led to that girl becoming a university president. In Saudi Arabia, despite strict dress codes and driving restrictions, many elite women described to Rosalind Carter their satisfaction with their protected status. Educational opportunities there are expanding, with women comprising nearly 60% of university students. However, Nobel laureate Naguib Mahfouz's writings revealed disturbing attitudes toward women, even in secular Islamic societies, describing them as lacking ideology and comparing marriage to castor oil. These perspectives highlight the importance of understanding cultural context while maintaining universal human rights standards. When governments choose violence as policy, citizens internalize this approach. As Georgia's governor, Carter observed how bias and discrimination foster violence, especially against vulnerable populations. Women in prison systems face unique challenges, often incarcerated for crimes committed under male coercion or for moral crimes that men rarely face. State-sanctioned violence through capital punishment correlates with higher homicide rates, what researchers call the brutalization effect. This pattern extends to military settings where sexual assault is epidemic. In 2012, the Department of Defense estimated 26,000 instances of unwanted sexual contact, yet only 3,200 were reported and just 300 prosecuted, about 1.2% compared to 37% in civilian courts. War removes normal inhibitions, increasing sexual violence against women, as seen from Japanese forces in Korea to conflicts in eastern Congo. How can we expect violence against women to decrease when we normalize violence as an acceptable solution to problems? Sex-selective abortion, enabled by sonogram technology, has created severely skewed gender ratios globally. Nobel laureate Amartya Sen's 1990 estimate of 50 million missing females in China, 150 million worldwide, has grown to at least 160 million today, exceeding twice World War II's casualties. Sexual violence remains endemic, with the U.S. Justice Department documenting 191,610 rape or sexual assault cases in 2006, over 475 women daily, with only 16% reported to police. In conflict zones like Rwanda and Congo, rape has been weaponized, earning DRC the tragic label World Capital of Rape. Modern slavery generates $32 billion annually, with sex trafficking particularly profitable, a slave prostitute costing about $1,900, but generating $29,000 yearly. Approximately 800,000 people are trafficked across borders annually, 80% being women and girls. Harmful cultural practices persist despite reform efforts, including honor killings, female genital cutting, and child marriage. About 14 million girls marry before 18 annually, suffering severe health consequences and educational deprivation. When communities face poverty, disease, or persecution, women suffer more severely. The Carter Center works with families in over 70 developing nations, focusing on waging peace, fighting disease, and building hope. Their campaign against guinea worm disease approaches total eradication as only the second disease in history to be eliminated. This effort spans 26,000 isolated villages across 20 countries, providing unique insights into women's roles. With no medical cure, women bear the heaviest burden. They're blamed for contaminated water and must care for afflicted family members. Yet women have become the center's greatest allies, with over 10,000 female volunteers now monitoring villages in South Sudan. Blinding trachoma affects women twice as frequently as men. The center has trained thousands of female health workers to perform eyelid surgeries and distribute antibiotics. In Ethiopia alone, 6,500 female health extension workers lead teams treating millions annually. After Liberia's civil war, the center helped establish a legal system benefiting women by informing them that rape was a crime, women could own property, and female genital cutting wasn't mandatory. Using the slogan, "Empower Men and Women Together," they used community dramas and radio broadcasts to promote equality. Despite these challenges, promising models for change exist across cultures. In Morocco, King Mohammed VI raised the marriage age to 18, established equal spousal responsibility, eliminated mandatory male guardianship, prevented forced marriages, and moved divorce to secular courts. British Foreign Secretary William Hague and Angelina Jolie collaborated to gather evidence for prosecuting sexual violence in war zones, securing a unanimous UN Security Council resolution condemning such violence. Ayla Bhatt's Self-Employed Women's Association grew to become India's largest primary union with 1.7 million women members, creating cooperatives, health insurance programs, and a bank with 350,000 depositors. The Carter Center's work shows that ending abuses against women requires the entire community's support, especially male leaders. In Senegal, when men joined Tostin's discussion groups, women began framing their goals as human rights rather than women's rights, leading to progress against genital cutting and child marriage. The struggle for women's rights requires engagement from all genders, faiths, and cultures. Despite comprising nearly half the workforce and earning more college degrees than men, American women still earn about 23% less in full-time positions, with global pay gaps ranging from 4% to 37%. Companies with more female board members achieve 26% better returns on investment, yet discrimination persists. Addressing the abuse of women and girls, the most pervasive human rights violation on Earth, creates a more peaceful, prosperous world for everyone.